Good morning, Ilmar. This is your daily executive brief for Tuesday, April 14, 2026.
Good morning.
We are basically cutting through all the corporate fluff today to bring you exactly what you need to know.
Yeah, and we've got some massive headlines to get to right out of the gate.
Right. So to start us off, the global aviation industry is just, well, it's reeling. We're looking at a...
Exactly. And I think we have to start directly in your wheelhouse, Ilmar. Before we look at the broader economy, we have to talk about the immediate operational and fleet realities shaping the sky today.
Right, because what happened yesterday in Dubai is just, I mean, it's wild. Dubai International went from handling over 1,200 daily flights to fewer than 20.
Yeah, fewer than 20. It's effectively a ghost town right now.
Which is insane for one of the busiest transit hubs on the planet. And because of this U.S.-Israel-Iran conflict, global aviation losses have, like we said, crossed that $100 billion mark.
Right. And you look at the manufacturing front, Boeing delivered 143 jets in Q1, which officially outpaced Airbus.
Okay, but wait, that Q1 victory feels a bit hollow, doesn't it? Because in March, those deliveries slowed down to just 46 jets. Down from 51?
Yeah, they did. And the underlying reason is that Boeing is actively repairing damaged wiring in about 25 of its 737 MX planes right now.
Wow. And meanwhile, over in the U.S., you have United CEO Scott Kirby formally proposing a mega merger with American Airlines to the Trump administration.
Which is huge news. But for you, Ilmar, looking at the competitive and cost implications, according to aviation analyst Anita Mendorata, jet fuel costs have basically doubled for many carriers.
Doubled. I mean, historically, fuel sits at what, roughly 30% of operating expenses?
Exactly, about 30%. But the massive rerouting to avoid war zones is, well, it's not just burning more fuel. That extra flight time fundamentally breaks crew logistics.
Oh, right, because of shift lengths.
Yeah. Mendorata points out that a standard single shift is now stretching into a shift and a half or even two full shifts. It's causing severe OPEX spikes.
I mean, looking at all these Middle East airspace closures, it's like the global circulatory system needing a sudden quadruple bypass.
But going back to Boeing for a second, is their Q1 victory completely hollow given these sudden 737 MAX wiring delays in March?
Well, I'm going to push back on that a bit. The Boeing wiring delays are definitely a fleet planning headache, no question.
Right.
But the true existential threat to airline margins right now isn't the wiring. It's the compounding cost of this forced rerouting and crew overtime.
Ah, okay. The immediate cash bleed.
Exactly. And this is where you, Ilmar, need to consider how FlySafair can actually leverage its localized routes. While your international competitors are bleeding cash navigating war zones, domestic operations shield you from the worst of these blockades.
Yeah, that makes sense. But aviation doesn't operate in a vacuum, right? To understand how FlySafair absorbs these global shocks, we have to look at the local economic bedrock in South Africa.
Absolutely. So looking at the local macro data, the rand is currently sitting at 16.36 to the U.S. dollar.
Mm-hmm. And the JSE All Share Index is actually showing some decent resilience. It's up 1.10% to 119,796.
Right. Plus, Germany just agreed to give South Africa a 200 million euro, which is roughly $234 million concessional climate loan.
And the goal there is to deepen cooperation in critical minerals and green energy, right?
Yes, that's the stated goal. But, I mean, isn't this German climate loan essentially just putting a green band-aid on a structural wound for the South African economy? Especially with local consumer sentiment battling the dual headwinds of political uncertainty and load shedding.
Well, you could look at it that way, but let me pivot here, because the real takeaway for an airline CEO is the currency. The ZAR is a relative stability at 16.36 despite massive global chaos. That's the silver lining for FlySafair.
Wait, really? The currency stability is the main takeaway?
Yeah, because a stable ZAR is literally the only thing keeping imported jet fuel costs from completely destroying your domestic margins. It's expected to strengthen moderately due to recovering global commodity demand.
Oh, I see. Because jet fuel is priced in dollars, a crashing rand would wipe out any domestic advantage you have overnight.
Exactly. But of course, that local currency stability is currently at the mercy of a geopolitical landscape that is, well, it's rapidly fragmenting global trade routes.
Yeah, let's get into the geopolitics because things are getting intense. The U.S. Central Command just confirmed a physical blockade of the Strait of Hormuz.
Right. And in the first 24 hours of that blockade, zero ships passed through.
Zero. Wow.
Yes. Yeah, six vessels complied with U.S. orders to turn back. It's a complete standstill.
And then you have the economic warfare side. Following Chinese export controls on rare earth minerals, Trump announced an impending 100% tariff on all imports from China.
It's aggressive. Analysts like Ian Bremmer are noting that Europe is essentially under siege right now, structurally weakened and caught between U.S. political revolutions and Chinese manufacturing dominance.
Yeah, we are basically seeing what Apollo's Torsten Slok calls the doom loop in action. Globalization is shifting from a positive-sum game to this zero-sum fragmentation.
It's true.
I mean, this U.S.-China decoupling, it feels like a messy global divorce where the kids, meaning the rest of the world, are just forced to choose which house to live in.
It's honestly much worse than a divorce. We are talking about a complete rewrite of maritime and trade law here.
Worse than a divorce? How so?
Well, both the U.S. tariffs and the Chinese export controls basically guarantee structural inflation for the foreseeable future.
Right, because you're weaponizing the actual materials needed for high-tech components.
Exactly. And that directly impacts supply chains for aircraft parts. So even if FlySafair is flying domestic routes, maintaining your fleet is going to get significantly more expensive.
Which brings us to the financial plumbing of all this.
Mm.
Because with traditional fiat trade routes and global supply chains breaking down like this, institutional capital is quietly seeking, you know, alternative frictionless networks.
Yeah, the crypto markets are showing some fascinating movement that corporate treasuries need to pay attention to.
Right. Bitcoin just surged to $75,900, which completes its rebound from that February 5th crash.
But then you had that massive $19 billion crypto liquidation event recently.
Yeah. $19 billion wiped out in the wake of the Trump tariff announcement. I mean, that's got to be the world's fastest wealth evaporation trick, right? Why should any serious CEO care about an asset class that volatile?
Well, let me correct you there, because you have to look under the hood. That $19 billion liquidation, that was retail leverage getting cleared out. The real signal here is institutional.
Institutional, like BlackRock.
Exactly. BlackRock pulled in a net $130 billion of client cash in Q1, heavily driven by their ETFs. But the real game changer is B2B adoption.
No, you mean the Stripe acquisition?
Yes. Stripe just acquired the stablecoin platform Bridge, and Bridge is already being used by SpaceX for global treasury management.
So forget the retail meme coin hype. This is Stripe and major banks converging on stablecoin orchestration.
Right. So the question I pose to Elmar is this. With companies like SpaceX using stablecoin rails to completely bypass traditional banking belays, how long until airline treasuries utilize these networks for immediate cross-border vendor payments?
That's a great question, especially when you consider how slow the legacy SWIFT system is. And the infrastructure supporting these new frictionless corporate networks isn't just blockchain anymore. It's highly advanced, specialized artificial intelligence.
Yeah, the AI and tech segment this week is packed. OpenAI just launched GPT 5.4 Cyber.
But they've heavily restricted it to vetted security vendors, right?
Yes, very tightly controlled. And simultaneously, Anthropic deployed its Claude Mythos preview model through a program called Project Glasswing.
And the moment that went live, it immediately found thousands of major vulnerabilities in operating systems.
It's a massive leap in capability. But there's a serious labor constraint clashing with this tech boom. The U.S. just hiked H-1B visa fees to $100,000.
$100,000. That is going to severely restrict foreign tech labor.
Absolutely. And on the consumer side, we're seeing airlines like American, Alaska, and United rolling out free Starlink or AT&T Wi-Fi on flights.
But there's a catch, right? They're requiring loyalty program signups to access it. They're basically trading bandwidth for behavioral data.
Exactly.
But going back to GPT 5.4 Cyber for a second, is this just a glorified hyper-smart spell check for hackers?
No, not at all. And this is the framing Elmar needs for FlySafair's AI investments, like Lucy. Analysts are pointing out that foundational intelligence is now just table stakes. It's commoditizing.
Meaning the gap between open source and closed models is shrinking.
Right. The value is now entirely in the app layer and specialized agents. It's not about having the smartest raw AI model anymore.
Okay, so what is it about?
It's about integrating the AI into customer service and operational workflows so deeply that it functions as a tireless cost-saving agent, especially when human tech labor costs are skyrocketing because of those H-1B visa hikes.
Okay, so for Lucy, it's about evergreen workflows automating the day-to-day friction.
Exactly. But as we pivot to our final segment, all of these operational efficiencies and AI advancements are currently fighting a brutal headwind in the macroeconomic commodities market.
Yeah, let's look at the markets. We mentioned the Dow tumbled 768 points, or 1.63%, closing at 46,225.
And critically, it closed below its 200-day moving average, which is a major technical warning sign.
Right. And the Fed held the benchmark rate steady at 3.5 to 3.75%, and they're forecasting only one cut this entire year.
Because inflation is proving to be structural. The producer price index, the PPI, spiked 0.7%.
Meanwhile, Brent crude is seeing wild volatility. It hit $107.38 following the Iran blockade news.
Yeah, which prompted Trump to issue a 60-day waiver of the Jones Act just to allow vital oil and gas resources to flow freely to U.S. ports. They are desperate to cap energy costs.
I mean, looking at the Fed's current monetary policy, it's like trying to land a fully loaded 737 in a hurricane with one engine out.
That's a very accurate way to describe it. Torsten Slok is outright warning of incoming stagflation.
Right, GDP growth slowing while inflation climbs, expected to hit 2.9 to 3.1%.
Exactly. And the headwinds are brutal. You've got the new tariffs, a lack of cheap labor from deportation policies, and the restart of student loan payments crushing consumer demand.
It's a perfect storm.
It is. Though I do want to highlight Bank of America's contrarian view here.
Oh, right. They don't think a recession is guaranteed.
Correct. They argue the economy could remain in a boom or recovery phase and that the system has enough liquidity to absorb these risk-on shocks.
Okay, but even if we avoid a technical recession, I've got to point out to Elmar that 0.7% wholesale inflation jump. That is the silent margin killer.
Oh, without a doubt.
That is going to bleed directly into the cost of aircraft parts and maintenance no matter what.
Right, which is why aggressive cost management at that AI app layer we talked about is so critical right now.
Exactly. All right, well, let's pull all this together. Based on everything we've covered, here are the three things you need to watch this week, Elmar. Number one, the Strait of Hormuz blockade resolution.
Right. You need to watch whether the U.S. Navy's enforcement actually holds or if retaliatory strikes push Brent crude permanently above the $100 mark.
Because if it stays up there, it directly inflates FlySafair's hedging costs.
Yep. Number two to watch, Boeing's April delivery numbers. Keep an eye on whether those 737 MAX wiring repairs were just a one-month blip or if this is a structural delay.
Right, because if it's structural, it will tighten global fleet availability and absolutely raise leasing rates. And finally, number three, the shift to the app layer.
Watch how competitors leverage the commoditization of these AI models. The race is no longer about building the AI itself.
Yeah, it's about deploying it to automate customer workflows and reduce overhead.
Exactly.
Well, Elmar, that brings us to a final provocative thought to leave you with today. As global supply chains permanently fracture into competing geopolitical spheres, will regional airlines eventually be forced to become geopolitical actors themselves?
Yeah, having to exclusively choose between Western or Eastern tech, fleet, and fuel ecosystems, it's a massive strategic question.
It really is. Well, thank you for tuning into The Brief today. We will be back tomorrow to map the data and keep you ahead of the curve. Have a great day.